Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show, now also known as KRFY Community Conversations. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, and as I'm sure listeners know, I am normally joined by Phil Huff, but Phil's away this week, so we will do our best without him. And it also then prevents me from chatting with Phil and hearing about what he's done last week, but that's all right. We'll catch up with him next week. This morning, we've got the really exciting treat of talking with the executive director of the International Selkirk Driving Loop, and her name is Stephanie Sims. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
It's so nice to have you join us. You've joined us once before. It's been a while, and things have changed quite a bit since our last conversation. So we'll ask you, if you don't mind, to tell us just a bit about yourself, your background, where you live, and how you got to be involved with International Selkirk Loop.
So I am in Bonners Ferry. I am the executive director since 2006. Been a while. We promote tourism along this scenic drive that is in northern Idaho, eastern Washington, and southeastern British Columbia. It's a 280-mile loop of highway encircling the Selkirk Mountain Range. And so we like to call ourselves a two-nation vacation.
Huh, I like that. Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved with this organization?
You know, just knowing the right people at the right time, and a position came open. And I have a graphics design background. I work for another nonprofit that is also split between US and Canada. And so the pieces just kind of aligned.
Okay. Could you tell us what the other organization is? I bet that's an interesting combination.
It is. It's actually the North American Lily Society. Lilies as in flowers.
Oh, yes.
So neat. My husband is a grower, a hybridizer, and so he would take me to the different shows. I met the people, and we just happened to be newly married, and I had extra time, and they snagged me to fill a spot.
Well, what a nice way to be involved in two organizations that cross the Canadian-American-USA border. That's neat.
They have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I can't think of too many, but I'm sure that you can. Yeah. So now tell us a bit. You told us where the drive or the states and the countries that involve the scenic driving loop. But tell us more about this drive, North America's only multinational driving loop. Where's it? You know, basically, what is the loop?
The loop is in Washington from Medellin Falls, Medellin, Ione, Newport, Washington. It then crosses into the Idaho for Priest River, Dover, Sandpoint, and then north to Bonners Ferry. When you cross the Canadian border, it is Creston along the east shore of Kootenay Lake to Crawford Bay. You then take the ferry across the lake to Balfour, then on to Nelson, and then you head back south again towards the Washington border. So that's the 280-mile loop. We also have six super side trips that we like to refer to, and those add nearly another 500 miles. And so those will take you off the loop into some other communities and then put you back on. So there's quite a bit of mileage and scenic and outdoor recreation and lots of things to see and do.
Yeah, that sounds like you could, if you wanted to, you could drive almost 800 miles and see a little bit of everything. And I know there are a lot of sort of interesting recreational opportunities. We'll get to those in a bit. What's the history of this loop? I mean, how does a scenic driving loop get created?
Well, it was created by a few business people in the tourism industry who were looking for ways to attract people to this area. And at the time, there was a push for scenic byways. Mm-hmm. And so the individual's timing just happened to be perfect. and they joined together, a nonprofit first on the U.S. side, and started those scenic byways in place as a state organization. So there was a Washington Scenic Byways for those sections. There's Idaho Scenic Byways for those different highways and sections. And then they added the Canadian side a couple years later and joined the two together. Once they had all of those underlying state scenic byways in place, they could then apply on the U.S. side for the National Scenic Byway for a federal designation. And with that, there's quite a few loopholes to jump through, but you have to have some intrinsic qualities in order to get that designation. And we were able to qualify in multiple intrinsic qualities, such as outdoor recreation, natural. And with that, we were given the highest possible designation of an All-American Road.
Nice. What is that, like the 5-star intrinsic?
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yes, there are only 31 in all of the United States. So
wow.
it is a pretty nice designation to have. And we are the only one that's recognized on both sides of an international border. So that is also another great thing to have. So our signage continues on. Once you cross the border, you'll see our same road signage along the way.
Got it. So, you know, obviously anyone can get on the road and drive pretty much anywhere they feel like. Why would a listener, a person who's a driver, maybe a motorcyclist, want to follow the route that you all have designated?
Well, for one, it's just gorgeous scenery. So you just want to keep following the road and seeing what there is. But there's lots of communities. There's over 40 different small towns along the way. Each one of them has a different feel, a different flavor. You can go from some wonderful agriculture and farms and wineries to some fantastic outdoor recreation and wintertime skiing. There's lakes and rivers. There's some rock climbing, and just about anything that you're interested in that we do offer at some point along the way. So it's a great way to get outside. It's so many things to see and do. People are still feeling safe even with COVID because a lot of it is outdoors. You don't have to go inside of a building. You can camp, you can stay in different hotels and B&Bs along the way. So it just fits a wide demographic, a expansive age group, and lots of different backgrounds.
That's really neat. I was just going to ask you who does it, and it sounds like just about everyone is willing to take this driving loop. So if you're a family, there's going to be something for everyone, it sounds like.
Yeah, there is. For the wild outdoor adventure, there's, you know, whitewater rafting and mountain climbing and some pretty crazy zip lining, or you could just relax in your car and never get out of it and just see the great scenery. So there's so many different aspects.
Yes, and if you like eating like I do, it sounds like there's a really nice selection of places to wine and dine as you wander along this beautiful scenic route and get to know your region.
There is. There's everything from some fantastic multi-star fancy dining to a roadside stand or something where you could just grab some things for a picnic and take it somewhere. So there's a really wide span again.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is that you can do it, you can really do it up, or if you just want to kind of do it on a budget, either can be accomplished.
Yes, very yeah. much so.
Very
I think
nice.
That's why it makes us so popular.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I'm wondering, I've been thinking about this before our interview about how it might be difficult for an organization to work across two borders. And I understand you're doing it for two organizations, but how does that work? Do you have staff on both countries, or do you do it all here from Bonners?
When they first started, we did have staff on both sides to help us get established. At one point, that ended on the Canadian side, and so now it is just one person, myself, representing the entire loop. And so it can be a little taxing at time when you're stretched so thin, but it works.
Oh, good. Well, I suppose it does help to have had some organization from Canada before it became just you. That's
yes.
Got to help. Sure. I want to get to talking about COVID because I'm sure that's on everyone's mind. And I know it's on my mind. You know, before COVID, it was a matter of just crossing the border and knowing what you needed to bring and all that. But it's that changed. It got really difficult. And now it's gotten better. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that's what's happened and what the current status is?
Sure. I currently am saying that the border is half open. So if you are a Canadian resident, you still cannot cross into the U.S. The border is closed. Right now, that is through late October.
Okay.
If you are a U.S. resident wanting to cross into the Canadian side, into British Columbia, the border is now open to fully vaccinated people. That's the first caveat. The second is you need to have a negative COVID test, and there are specific kinds of tests that they will require 72 hours before you cross. And they have an app that helps them know what your vaccination status and when you are coming to help speed up that crossing. So that information is available on our website. But at this time, I like to say it's half open. So if you're a US resident, you are free to go. They're welcoming you. But if it's the reverse, a Canadian resident, unfortunately, it is still closed.
Wow, that's really unique. And tell me about coming home from Canada. Are we allowed back since none of the Canadians are coming over?
Yes, we are allowed back in. No special requirements or testing. You just need your passport like you've always had.
Okay, so it's just getting over that's difficult, getting into
Yes, and something to also remember for U.S. residents, you hear a little bit about a vaccine passport at times. That is required in British Columbia. And so in order to enter certain establishments, they will require that you are fully vaccinated, and they want to see proof of that. For a U.S. resident, that is two pieces. That is one, your passport to show that you are a visitor, that you are not a resident, and two, the documentation you use to cross the border. So that would be your passport card and that app.
Okay. And what's the masking policy in BC? Is everyone masking or not?
It changes frequently. So I always say just keep in touch with the locals. Currently, it's required in indoor dining and indoor venues.
Sure. Understandable. Well, that's not as bad as I expected, Stephanie. I mean, U.S. folks can get over and do the driving tour, and it sounds like they'll be able to get back home. Oh, however, what if you do get COVID while you're in Canada? Can you still come home to the U.S.?
You can, yes.
Oh, good. Good, good. Yes. All righty. So let's see. We've talked about some of the highlights, but we haven't talked about any of the specific highlights. Why don't you tell us about some of your favorites and maybe a bit about the side trips?
So my favorites, our family likes to hike. So we like to find some trails that have some scenic views. We particularly like waterfalls, and there are probably more than 30 on this loop.
Wow.
The ferry is also one of our highlights, and that seems to be a popular one for a lot of people. They're very surprised that it is free. They're very surprised it's part of the BC highway system, so it's very well maintained and safe. It's even free for large motorhomes, so that's always fun. One of our favorite, I think we always enjoy going to Canada because everything is different from, you know, buying a drink or, you know, the money or filling your tank with gas and, you know, the kilometers and liters and everything is different. So it's like being in Europe or something. But just the food on the Canadian side is just, they just go out of their way to make it really special and unique. Very few chain restaurants will you find on the BC side. They're all just local people doing a fabulous job.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And so it's time for full disclosure on my part. And after you talked with us last time, which I can't remember if it's 2 or 3 years ago, but it's been quite a while. My husband and I did the loop. And as you say, we went to Canada, and I have to agree 100%. It does feel like you're in a foreign country. The architecture can be a little different. Of course, the speech is just a little different. The money, mm-hmm. of course, you know, the charging stations, electric cars, the ferry was fabulous, really unforgettable. And yeah, and the dining experiences were fun. And then just some of the scenic towns I enjoyed so much. The town of Nelson, what a fun town to visit. Really yes. enjoyed it. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of our travelers enjoy Nelson. It's very eclectic. Just to sit and have a cup of coffee and watch the people. It's just a unique, really friendly community.
Yes, not to take anything away from the American side, but since the Canadians can't come here anyway, we don't have to promote our towns quite yet. But Sandpoint's wonderful, and of course, I love your town, Bonner's Ferry. But
yes.
But it's fun to get across the border and do something a little bit different. And know that you can be home in a day or two. You don't even have to get on a plane.
So it is. So Nelson and Sandpoint are also sister cities.
I did.
So they do a lot of cross promotions and unique things with, you know, their ski hills and their food and the breweries and that sort of thing. So that's fun. When the borders open, you can go both ways. You can participate in that.
Yeah, you know, it might really be a good time to do this Selkirk International Loop just because the Canadians aren't really able to come across the border. A bit quieter, you might be able to have easier reservations for overnight accommodations, that kind of thing. So this might mm-hmm. really be the time to take advantage.
Yes.
I would think so. Are there special events that happen on the loop that are designed just to take advantage of people that are driving the loop? Or is there anything that we should know about in that regard?
You know, there are different festivals and things at different times of the year. A lot of those do happen in the summer months. That is our busiest time. But you could say music is a big part of many of these communities. So you're going to see obviously the festival at Sandpoint, but then you have very similar, the Jazz Fest in Caslow, BC, and in other communities. It's very similar, outdoor concerts and venues. There are car shows going on most weekends in different communities. You can see parades at the different holidays and farmers markets all around the loop on almost every Saturday or Wednesday. So just different times. Some weekends are busier than others, depending on what that festival is.
Sure. I want to back up just a bit to the worst times during COVID, and that must have really impacted some of the businesses along this route. How are they doing? Are most of them still open, or has it taken a toll?
You know, it's unique. On the U.S. side, we have dealt with many different governmental entities and many different restrictions. So in Washington, where things were a little more closed, and also in Montana, one of our side trips just dips a toe into Montana. Idaho was very much open. So travelers still ventured to the loop. There was still lots of outdoor recreation. Our trails saw a lot more traffic. Restaurants were having their busiest time ever. So depending on where you were, it was causing some restrictions, or it was causing almost the opposite. It was almost too much traffic and people.
Both. Yes. They're really busy, or in some places really not really being utilized. How interesting.
Yeah. And right now I think a lot of the businesses are having the same problem as many, is they're just finding enough staff, getting them trained and keeping them on.
Yeah.
On the BC side, they went through multiple shutdowns. So I think they're hurting a little more than what we are on the US side because of that. Because they went through, I believe it was 3 separate shutdowns. So they could get food for takeout, but they couldn't have dine-in.
I see.
That sort of thing.
Well, there's a reason to support our friends in BC and try and get them a little business if we're thinking about doing this drive, and knowing that it maybe won't be as jam-packed as it will be in future years. So a great time to take advantage. Yeah. And what about you? How was your work during all of this time of COVID? Was it just frantically busy with people asking questions?
It was depending. For the most part, it was fairly quiet as far as the phone ringing. We had some different social media happening, like plan a future trip. You know, you can't come now, but think about this in the future. And so there were lots of conversations happening online that you're following and making sure the information is correct and accurate, and notifying people that the border is closed. And then when it finally opened in one direction, so it's had a different busy.
Yeah, a much different kind of busy. Well, hopefully that's either ended or soon to end for you. And it'll be all about encouraging people to get back out and recreate and enjoy the really very many scenic features of this loop that can be many things to many people. What am I missing? Is there anything else that you'd like to mention to listeners to encourage them?
You know, I think that fall is a beautiful time to visit. Fall colors, I think, are very similar to the East Coast, except that you're going to see the larch and the tamarack in addition to the deciduous leaf trees. So it covers a pretty wide time frame of mid-September to second or third week of October. You'll see the colors move up the mountains as those climates start to change and the light. So fall is a really popular time.
Yes, temperatures are nice. And, you know, in the Idaho Panhandle, I would have to say we don't have as vibrant of fall colors as some other parts of the country. For example, I'm from Minnesota, and we had a lot more reds and golds, and here it's more golds and greens. So it would be nice to see on a relatively short drive to be able to see some interesting fall colors. That's a great recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mountains become pretty orange with the larch trees mixed with the greens.
Nice.
In the winter, we have 6 different ski resorts, small, from like Turner Mountain in Montana all the way up to Red Mountain in British Columbia, and different sizes, Schweitzer, Whitewater, and 49 degrees north, and then the little Salmo ski hill just outside of Salmo. So there's lots of things to do in the winter as well.
So what person could use the driving loop to do an adventure with ski resorts? What a nice idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's, you know, ski resorts, there's cross country, there's ice skating, horse-drawn sleigh rides. So there's lots of things to do year round.
Yeah. Nice to hear. You know, I had a question that I thought of earlier and I just want to go ahead and ask it. you know, when one does the loop, you might accumulate souvenirs, etc. I know there are some restrictions about food moving across the border. Is that essentially the same as it's always been?
Yes. However, if you're picking up food that was locally grown, such as I'm going to use Creston, BC, is a fantastic area where they'll grow asparagus and strawberries. And this time of year, it's apples and squash. If you're picking it up where it's grown locally there, that can come across the border. But if it's produce that you are purchasing at a grocery store, that could not cross the border.
Okay.
So it depends on the type of produce and where you're purchasing it. Because something from a grocery store is typically grown somewhere else and then shipped in versus locally grown. So just keep that in mind as you're visiting different farms and different fruit stands along the way.
Well, another good reason to buy local. You can take it home.
You can.
Yes, very nice. Well, I have really enjoyed hearing about the half reopening of the International Selkirk Driving Loop. Would you like to add anything else before we conclude?
Well, we're open and we'd love to have everyone visit.
All right. You're enticing me to take another second loop on this great driving experience and try and catch up with the things that I missed the first time around, especially to get to Canada. That would be fun after 2 years of not doing very much due to COVID.
Yes.
All right. Yes, thank you. Well, Stephanie Sims, Executive Director for the International Selkirk Driving Loop, I'd like to thank you for telling us about what's happening with this multinational driving loop that's really worth the drive and can be done any kind of way that you like it. Listeners, this has been KRFY Community Conversations every Tuesday, as you know, and I hope you enjoyed this one, and I look forward to talking with you again next week.